So shouldn't we give him all? He's worthy of it. I have a little different subject, though, in mind for tonight. It's, shouldn't take too long, but just a little something to encourage us to press on. I first want to share a little story that I read a while back, and rather interesting, amazing story, told as a true story. There was a fellow telling of a couple of guys that took off in a little plane, and it was a pilot and a co-pilot, and I don't think there was even any passengers with them at the time, just a small plane. And they had taken off in their aircraft, and just as soon as they got up in the air, they heard a noise, and an alarm went off on their dashboard there, and something in the back wasn't right. One of the doors wasn't latched correctly, or they weren't sure what it was. So the pilot got up and walked to the back of the plane and to check it out. Well, while he's walking back there, they hit a pocket of air and actually throws him against the rear door, cargo door, and he falls out. And, the co-pilot, of course, he's, like, oh, no. He realizes what has happened, so he radios, say, hey, send a helicopter. We need to, go find this guy. And so they proceed, and he finds the nearest place to land. I guess probably circles back around. And they got up to an altitude, I think, of about 4,000 feet and going about 200 miles an hour. So they were moving pretty good. But anyway, once they land, they realize that the pilot is actually still attached to the plane. He had actually grabbed hold of the ladder and somehow miraculously hung on to this ladder. And as the story goes, they said it took several minutes to pry his fingers off of that ladder. He was holding on so tight. He was desperate. But you can imagine, he thought quick enough to grab onto something, and the co-pilot couldn't see it, didn't know what was going on, but he was alert enough, and even when they were landing, he was alert enough to keep his head up from hitting the pavement. And anyway, quite an amazing story. But I couldn't help but thinking how sometimes that's you and I. Sometimes in life, boom, something happens unexpected. Maybe we're innocently, we're going about doing our daily duties for the Lord, and everything's going fine. We're going, we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing, but God has a different plan, and maybe there's a little unexpected pocket of air that we hit in our life, so to speak. Throws us for a loop, a jolt, throws us out the door, so to speak. But yet we have opportunity, and that's what this pilot had an opportunity. No doubt he probably wasn't really expecting this, but no doubt being a pilot, he's trained to use your head. Think quickly. They have to make quick, sometimes very critical decisions in just a matter of seconds. That's how they're trained. It's the same with you and I. The Lord has, if you could say, a training course for all of us that we have to go through. We start out as young babes in Christ, learning just the simple things. I remember the times when I had to stand up in front of the whole congregation, recite a Bible verse, a memory verse. And was it fun? No. But I want to tell you something. Some of those verses that I learned way back then, I still remember those. And I still quote those to my, that's what I used to fight the devil with sometimes. In fact, in Sunday school this morning, one of the young people mentioned one that I learned at a really young age. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. I've had to use that a lot. Some unexpected things come up, okay? But again, the pilot was alert, and he didn't want to die. So what did he do? He grabbed onto that ladder. It reminds me of the, there's several stories of the churches, the letters that John the Revelator wrote to some of the churches in the book of Revelations. And we'll turn and read about one of these churches. And it's particularly this one that I want to pull out. In Revelations, the second and third chapters, I'm not going to read about all seven churches, but this one in particular, the church at Philadelphia, they were the only one out of the seven that God didn't find a fault with. And true, maybe there was some room for improvement, but they really didn't have the faults like all the others did. And it's interesting when you read through this, what they had on hand. In Revelations, the third chapter, let's just start with verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And that's my little thought this evening. Hold fast. Hold on to what you have. The devil's going to come along and he's going to attack in various ways. He may come along and say, well, you don't really have much anyway. You know, you ever had the devil tell you that before? Like, well, you don't have much faith. You don't have much experience. You don't have much strength. You don't have much of this and much of that. And, you know, it's like, so just what's the use? What if the pilot would have had that mindset when he was flying through that door thinking, this is it. I'm way too, just said, forget it. But no, he took action. He resisted what would be the perhaps just a common person. He resisted that. But, you know, it's the same with you and I, that there comes a point where in extreme adversity, and maybe it seems like we're hoping against hope. Maybe it seems like we're just, you've heard the saying, you know, one step forward, two steps back. But then sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. But the bottom line is, there's still something there. I still have a desire. That's what the church at Philadelphia had. It says here, let's look at this a little closer in verse 8. And no man shall, it says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. You know, I would be willing for the Lord to say, you just have a little strength, but I still have some. The key is, hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. In other words, they hadn't turned their back on the Lord. They're still fighting. They're still pressing on. And even though they may not have much on hand, and some interpret this, looking at some of the commentators, some say perhaps it was a small church, small in number. And it could mean that. Small in strength, not a big church, not a lot of political persuasion and great numbers to make a big difference in their city, so to speak. But there was a faithful few. Maybe that's all there is, but they're faithful to the Lord. And they haven't, it says, and have kept my word. That means kept the Lord's commandments, obeyed his laws, and has not denied my name. Now that's saying quite a bit, is it not? I would love for the Lord to say that about me. And truly, he does say that about his saints, those that have persevered. But again, it says, thou hast little strength. I dare say, I'm just guessing here, this pilot that was sucked out of that plane, I really doubt, because most pilots, truly, they are supposed to be physically fit, okay? But they're not bodybuilders. And Cliff knows this for a fact, that they're not trained to be big, old, bulky, muscular men that can bench 500 pounds and squat 900 pounds. That's not what pilots are for. So it's not like they have tremendous amount of strength. So in a sense, you can say, well, that pilot, he really didn't have much strength. You could say it this way. He had determination. That was the key. He was willing to persevere through the cold temperatures, no doubt, being at 4,000 feet. I don't know how cold it was up there. And it was no doubt pretty windy and pretty turbulent up there. But he's like, this is my only chance, and I'm not going to let go. Maybe he had a wife and children at home. I don't know. I don't know what all was going through his mind, except that he didn't want to die. He didn't want to die falling from a plane, willing to hang on as hard as he could. Well, then it goes on. I already read this part. Verse 11, behold, I come quickly. And again, sometimes we have surprises in life. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know sometimes. I've experienced this just the last couple of weeks. Had problems with my knee. That wasn't planned in my agenda. And there were some things I had to do. Do a lot of walking on the job and walking around. And that wasn't fun. That's not what I planned to do. But the Lord allowed it. He saw that maybe that's what I needed. And so you and I, sometimes there's these little curveballs, okay? We're just starting a new week. Monday, tomorrow, some of the brethren are going back to their jobs. Some of the children, teenagers, going to school, going to their jobs, the housewives, starting their duties. The list goes on, and everything may go just fine for a day or two, but then all of a sudden there's this little pocket of air that hits your life, so to speak, and poof, your life changes. I want to encourage us, hold on, hang on to the Lord. Has he, simple rhetorical question here, but has he ever failed us? Has he ever let go on his end? No, he never has. And you could say that in a spiritual sense, I think of it this way, and there's songs written about this too, that we know who is holding our hand. It's not someone that is just kind of has a casual interest in us. No, the Lord has more than a casual interest in us. I mean, how many times do we have perhaps friends, and I know nothing wrong with this, but we have friends and acquaintances and so on and so forth that, and even sometimes here at services, maybe we just kind of get in a, how would I say this, in a form where we just shake each other's hands and, hi, how are you doing, and, you know, blah, 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 and we just kind of go on our way, and that's fine, that's good, we should do that, but that's just in a kind of a casual sense. But for someone to actually go through that and then say, hey, by the way, and then start asking and kind of pull us aside and say, well, what about this? You know, how, you know, and actually show some interest. That means a lot. But I want to tell you something. That's the Lord. He's interested, as was mentioned earlier, Brother Mike was saying, that the Lord knows our names. How many times have I walked up to somebody and shake their hands and I can't remember their name? That looks pretty bad on me. And worse than that, there's times I know that maybe there's something I was supposed to ask them, that something bad happened in the last couple of weeks, and I can't even remember that. You understand the point here? We're humans, okay? But the Lord, does he ever forget? Is he ever surprised? No, he's not. He knows what's coming our way, and he knows how much we can handle. He knows if, just like this man, the pilot that was sucked out, if you allow me the liberty here, the Lord knows how to place those ladders just in the right place. All we have to do, if we could say it's his hand just right there, and as we're whizzing by, we can go, you know, and grab a hold of it if we want to. Okay? It's up to us to reach out and to grab hold of his hand and say, Father, I need you. This is something unexpected. The Lord's there all the time. We know that. But it goes on. It wraps up In verse 12, and actually Ronald alluded to some of this earlier. Verse 12, it says, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." And it goes on, there's many times, if you look through chapters 2 and 3, chapter 2, verse 7, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." Verse 11, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Verse 17, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." And verse 5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." You know, and again, it all boils down to a personal walk, a personal decision. Do we want to overcome? God has given us the ability, what other gifts does he need to give us? He's given us the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit, his word, physical life to live and breathe, to a mind. What else does the Lord need to give us? Opportunities. You know, we've all been born into a family. We have worship services to come to, and the list goes on and on. And he's given all this prepared for us to make a decision. Do you want to overcome? Do you want to hold on and persevere through the obstacles? I mean, it says here, in the last part of verse 11, "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Do you believe that's possible? That someone can take your crown? Well, it could be reworded this way. Basically, you can choose not to take your crown. You can choose to forfeit it, to give it up. As it was mentioned earlier, and Jesus said it, that "I've prepared a mansion for you. It's ready, waiting for you. I've prepared a way for you. I have a way," if we could say, a highway paved way up here, the highway of holiness. It's paved and it's ready for you to travel on. It's only one way. It's a straight and narrow way, but it's there. And I have all this grace available for you. I have instruction, commandments, all these promises. He's got it all there for us. So all we have to do is get on board and hang on. And trust and believe, of course. But the point is, and what I'm trying to drive home tonight is, it's a daily decision. Do I want to hold on and overcome today, tomorrow, the next day? Because we never know. Again, "Behold, I come quickly." Sure, that we can interpret that as being the end of time. But as I mentioned this morning, none of us know what tomorrow holds. So let's be encouraged to hang on to the Lord. I know this is just a simple little thought, and basically this is all I have. But I want us to realize that, as Brother Ed says many times, and I love to hear him say it, that I'm desperate to make it to heaven. And at any cost. And there's a song that says, "Whatever it takes to be more like you, Lord." That's saying a mouthful. That's truly consecration, is it not? But do we mean it? Only those that are really determined and have that willpower that I want to overcome, I want to hang on, even though it hurts, so to speak. Okay? And even though I can't feel like I can hang on any longer, I could just visualize the Lord coming down and just putting his hands over mine and saying, "You can hang on, child." The Lord will do that for you. So let's all be encouraged to hang on for the Lord. Pray for me.
Scripture in 1 Corinthians 16 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Real men don't quit.
That's right. Good point. Well, you know, Peter was a good example.